Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which you can find on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's always available on iTunes as well. So today I have another opportunity to speak with another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hey to Claire. Hey, Claire, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. Hi, everyone. I'm really good, thank you. How about you?
Good, good. It's a dreary, rainy, lazy Saturday here in New York. So I'm glad that we're doing this. It brightens up my day.
Thank you, me too.
So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Okay, sure. So my name's Claire and I live in the south of London. I'm 26 years old and I suppose my main hobbies are dancing and baking, spending time with my boyfriend and friends, and I suppose from everyday life, I work full time as an intelligence analyst for a company called CIFAS, which is the UK's lead fraud prevention organisation. And in my spare time, I'm studying towards a master's in counter fraud and counter corruption studies. And alongside that, I also founded and direct STUCK, which stands for Samaras Through University Consultancy. So I like to be busy.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow, that is a long list of of things that keep you busy. Oh my goodness. Now, you mentioned for your work, you are a full-time, did you say intellect analyst?
Intelligence analyst. And I assist lots of companies all over the country, as well as police forces, to try and protect people against fraud.
Oh, all right. I see. And how did you get interested in that?
So I graduated from the University of Warwick in 2014 with a French degree, and then I worked at Amazon in their fraud investigations department as a bilingual French intelligence specialist. So I basically analysed fraud, but on the French Amazon website, and then I moved into CIFAS, where I do a similar job to what I used to do at Amazon, but on a more broad scale, and for a company that's a lot smaller. In CIFAS there are about 50 people, whereas in Amazon there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands. So it was nice to stay in the same sector. It's something I'm very interested in, and obviously a big change to work from a massive organization to a smaller company, but I definitely prefer working for a smaller company.
Yeah, wow. That's fascinating. I don't think I've ever chatted with anybody that is in this field. So you obviously do quite a bit of talking and communicating in your work, yes?
I do now, yes. I definitely didn't used to. Quite a lot of my work is based on a presentational front. So I give presentations both internally to staff and board members, as well as externally all over the country. However, that was only fairly recently. I only really started to feel confident enough to present when I did some speech therapy in February 2017, so last year. And obviously, you know, speech therapy is different for everyone. Some people will find it advantageous, other people won't. And I was just very fortunate enough to find a speech therapy course that worked for me. And since then, I've just been going to places and doing presentations and just doing things I never, ever thought I would do. So it's thanks to that program, actually, that has enabled me to become a lot more confident and achieve things that I never, ever thought I could.
Oh, that's wonderful. Kudos to you, because
thank you.
Most people, obviously, who stutter or stammer, as you call it, across the pond,
yep,
comfortable speaking in front of large groups. So to do that primarily as a regular part of your work, that's wonderful. So does it ever come up in your work that you indeed stammer?
So when I first started work, I emailed, or I asked my line manager to email the rest of the company just to let them know. I would say that since the final year of university, I stopped hiding my stammer. I used to substitute words all the time. I'm sure many people who stammer are aware of this. I used to substitute words and avoid situations. And I just got the end of my or towards the end of my degree, and I thought, I just can't live like this. It's exhausting, and it isn't making me happy, and I'm pretending to be someone that I'm not, basically. So since then, I've been very open about my stammer, very open to answering questions that people have about it as well. And I think that the more people talk about it, the more that we can reduce the stigma surrounding stammering. So when I first started work, I asked my line manager to email the company and just to say, you know, Claire has started working here and she stammers. Please just be aware of this. And yeah, just so you know, really, especially as, you know, I expect that many people don't know someone who stammers. It only affects 1% of the adult population. So it's very unlikely that people will know someone who does. And so I just wanted to make people aware, not to use it as an excuse as such, right, but just so people knew.
Right, right. So did that help? Did anybody say anything to you about it or acknowledge the email, or was it just business as usual, and it was just a welcoming environment for you?
Well, it was a very welcoming environment, and I would say that most of the time it was business as usual. However, a few people, since that email was disseminated, they did come up to me and ask me questions. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to talk about it openly, and to be, especially working for a company where all the staff are very, very supportive of me. It makes a massive, massive difference.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's so important to be able to be open with the people that you work with, because obviously those are the people that we tend to spend the most time with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, we spend more time with people at work than we do with our loved ones, it seems.
yeah, that's true.
So you mentioned that you did speech therapy last year. Was that mm-hmm. your first ever speech therapy, or did you do it when you were younger, too?
So I've had quite a lot of different speech therapies. I think my first one was when I was about 8 or 9, I think. I can't remember it that well, to be honest, but I think I've had a few. Some were through the NHS and some were privately. And I've had hypnotherapy as well. And I would say that, you know, it was just a case of finding something that worked for me. And eventually I did. But obviously, you know, I know some stammerers who haven't been able to find something that works for them. But I would just say to them that perseverance is the key, because you never know what's going to work and what isn't going to work. So, yeah, I've probably had about 5 or 6 different types of speech therapy. And I don't know if it was because I just wasn't ready for it, or I didn't feel ready, or if the techniques just didn't suit me. I don't know what it was, but thankfully I feel like I'm in a much better position now as well. So
yeah, I think you hit on a key there. Sometimes it's just as simple as being ready and being in the right place in our journey as somebody that stutters or stammers. You know, if we're not open to trying something that will make it a little bit easier for our communication, it's not going to work. So it does seem like you were in the right place and you were ready and your mind was open. And it's wonderful to see that you're, you know, so much more comfortable and confident now,
because
you're
still
a young person, so you're gonna have many years to engage with the world and communicate in your unique way. So again, that's great. So are you involved at all with the stammering community in London?
So we have quite a few different groups and charities that are dedicated to stammering. So we have the BSA, the British Stammering Association. Mm-hmm. We have the Michael Palin Centre and the work that CityLit does. And we also have ASC, Action for Stammering Children, the ESN, the Employers Stammering Network, and STUCK, which I created. So we're very well connected in that everyone seems to know everyone. It's a bit like a family. And yeah, I would say that all of us are pretty active in it as well. And it's great, because I think when you're young, or when you first sort of realize that you have a stammer, you feel very isolated, you feel very alone, and you feel like you're the only one to have a stammer and to experience the negative feelings around it. So yeah, to actually meet other people who stammer is a really uplifting thing, and it feels like a weight coming off of your shoulders, I suppose. I remember when I first met someone who stammered, it felt like it was the weirdest thing. It felt really, really strange. But at the same time, you think, oh, I'm not the only one who does this. There are other people who do it too. So it was a really, really good experience. And I would encourage other people to do it too. If you can find people who stammer who are near you or across the world, if you can Skype like we are, you know, it's just a chance to meet other people and to share stories and things like that.
Yeah. Did you meet other women who stammer?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I know a few. I know more males who stammer, but the ratio is 1 to 4 or thereabouts, isn't it? So, but yeah, I have met some women, and they're very, very feisty, independent, confident women. So I'm trying to be like them.
Oh, yes, I too was just overwhelmed when I first met other people who stutter. And for me, that wasn't until my early 40s So I also can relate to, a growing up feeling very isolated and that I was the only one. So when I did meet other people who sounded like me, not only was it amazing and overwhelming, but when I met other women, it was like, wow, like this, like it was like a kindred spirit,
Yeah,
sort of.
absolutely, yeah.
So it's been a real it's been really important to me to offer this space for women who stutter and stammer to hear each other and realize that while we're all different, we share some of the same feelings and experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic what you're doing. You're being able to bring people together, not only in America, but all over the world. So yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So let's talk about this wonderful initiative that you've begun. Please tell us about more about Stuck. And again, if you could just tell us what that stands for and how this began and why you started it.
Okay, sure. So, as I said, I went to Warwick University and I studied French. Probably one of the bravest d decisions that a person who stammers can make, studying a degree where a lot of the concentration is on the oral aspect. So I struggled with the French speaking participation in my first 2 years. I spent my 3rd year in Normandy teaching English in a secondary school, which I really struggled with. Obviously, it's standing in front of a class for 5 days a week, and I really didn't enjoy it because just because of all the nerves and the negativity surrounding my stammer. And it was during that time that I thought I can't hide my stammer anymore. It's very much in the open now, and I've just got to carry on with it. And I think, why should it be something that I'm ashamed of? And so I got back to university for final year, and the oral participation was worth a very large percentage of my whole degree. And I was terrified, absolutely terrified. I thought, my degree could go either way here, if I do well or if I don't do well. So I went to the Disability Student Support Services, and I said, look, I've got this French oral coming up. It's worth a lot to my degree. I have a stammer. I have a feeling this isn't going to go well. What can you suggest? And they said, just relax, calm down, just breathe, and you'll be fine. And I thought, are you being serious? Are you really being serious? And from that, I was pretty devastated, and I was quite heartbroken as well, because I thought, you're supposed to be helping me, And so from this, I just thought, how many people who are in my position are also being given similar advice based on stigma and myths and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, I've got to do something about this. So with the help of a couple of my lecturers, they persuaded me to go and present an idea of an initiative to a social enterprise panel to get some funding. And they fund small projects that the university students have come up with themselves. And so I created STUC, which stands for Stammerers Through University Consultancy. It did stand for Stammerers Through University Campaign, but I've changed it since then. And this panel gave me £500, which I'm very grateful for. And I used it to create a website, business cards, leaflets, and that sort of thing. And from that, I mean, I started doing this in the final year of university. So once all of my exams had finished, I had a few months to to play with, really. I didn't have any more exams to do. I hadn't yet started my job, so I just fully concentrated on Stuck stuff. And I visited a couple of universities and talked to the people there who stammer, talked to student services and things like that. And I guess the sort of concept was born of how when a university wants to join Stuck, I arrange a focus group on their campus, and I talk to people there who stammer, people who know someone who stammers, you know, staff, students, disability staff, student support, you know, all those kinds of people who help to create the university community. And we discuss where the university is and isn't supporting their students and staff. I must mention that Stuck supports staff as well as students. So it could be anyone on the university who stammers. And then from that discussion, I create a report, which I then take back later on to a seminar where we try and put those recommendations in place. So whether it's to add, for example, like a live chat function to a disability services website, if they only have the option to create an appointment via the phone or by going to visit them in person, for example, that could be something else to support whoever needs that service. It could be just to raise awareness more generally around stammering. So we would create a campus-wide event just to make people aware of what a stammer is and how it manifests itself. All the ideas that people have could be anything, really. It can not only target the academic side of the university, but also the social side. And I think, you know, people say that the friends you make at university are often your best friends for life. So I think it's even more important to focus on the social side as well, as that really makes a person develop during their time at university. So that's kind of the Stuck process. And it's been going for 4 years, so since January 2014. And we've got 16 universities all over the UK who are signed up, and a lot of train journeys for me. I go to visit them every year. So, a lot of train journeys, and a lot of my spare time is taken up doing Stuck, and I don't get a salary for it either. I guess it's what you would class as a hobby, if you can call it that. But yeah, it's just me trying to change how universities and how society see and support people who stammer. And it was something that I would have definitely have liked to have had when I was at university. So I want to be able to offer that to other people who are in my position now.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is that is incredible.
Thank you.
What you've accomplished as a one woman show.
Thank you very much.
So obviously the universities have received this well, because you've had 16 universities sign on. But who at the university actually climbs on to this train journey? Is it the disability? Is it the disability offices?
So it can vary. Obviously, every university is run differently. For most, I would say it's someone within the disability services. That's the most common way, I suppose, of getting a university on board, as I contact the student support or disability services. In some cases, if a university offers a speech and language therapy degree course, it's actually quite often that someone who's either studying on that course or who teaches on that course has become the point of contact for that university. So it does depend. But I would say it's always someone who's definitely very interested in stammering or interested in helping the students and staff in any way they can. So from that respect, they've all got something in common. But to be honest, it could be anyone within the university.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And how are the universities promoting this to people on their campus? I mean, how do students and staff who stammer find out that this is available?
So quite often it's done by email. So the disability teams will have their own mailing lists of people who have speech impediments and other disabilities or conditions, and they'll all receive emails which are relevant to them. And as well, we have posters that are up around campuses, and a lot of it is social media based. So a lot of Facebook posts, a lot of Instagram posts and tweets going around. So I'm trying to tackle it from all angles.
Yeah, that's interesting. Something that you just said like sparked a huge question in my mind. So many of the disability centers at the universities already have students that have like registered as having a speech impediment, so they already know who those individuals are.
So it is usually the case that they will have a handful of students who stammer who have actually registered with disability services as someone who stammers. However, I'm sure that there are many, many, many across the university who have a stammer but haven't registered. Mm. And that raises the whole question of, is stammering a disability or is it not a disability, which is a big, big thing. And I mean, definition of a stammer according to the definition of a disability according to the Equality Act 2010 is a condition that affects you for over 12 months and is has a key impact on your everyday life. So for example, someone working in a call centre, for example, who had a stammer might consider it as a disability if they're using their voice or if they're using the phone all the time, whereas someone who doesn't necessarily need to do presentations or use the phone or things like that may not consider it as such. And it also depends not only on the person's day-to-day life, but also on the level of severity. And I use that in inverted commas. So I guess it depends on the individual. You know, I can't force people to come forward and disclose their stammer. And also some people just aren't ready, which is completely understandable. I wasn't ready to fully accept my stammer until 3 or so years ago. So obviously everyone's different. Every stammer is different. But we do often find that people who stammer who haven't registered come to these focus groups, and I think that they're kind of ready to say, look, I do stammer, and I've never really talked about it until Stuck came along to visit my university. And it's a really heartwarming feeling when people feel ready to talk about it, especially in a room with other stammerers who they didn't even know existed on campus. There are so many focus groups I've done where I've had a few stammerers in the same room, and I ask, you know, do any of you know each other? And they say no, they had no idea that other people on campus even stammered. So if anything, it's great just to create that sort of network where they all have this one thing in common, which not only can support themselves, but also each other.
Yeah. Wow. So you kind of answered my internal question, you know, because I was wondering as you were talking, you know, whether or not students would actually register or disclose that they have a disability, because so often that stigma keeps us away from labeling ourselves as having a disability. But then if we don't, then we're unable to take advantage of the accommodations that could be available to us, either in a school, a university, or in the workplace. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah. And I think also, when I've approached universities and told them about STUC and asked them if they've wanted to be part of the movement, they've often, I've had quite a few responses, saying, thank you for your email. Unfortunately, we don't have any students or staff here who stammer on our lists. So therefore we cannot help you. And I've got this theory that if universities were to publicly say that they offer support for people who stammer and they understand speech impediments, they understand stammering, and that they are open to offering support, then people will come forward and register. If people aren't offering support, then why would the student or staff member feel happy to come forward? Because they may just not get the support that they need. So I do think that if universities advertise that they are able to help those with speech impediments, then people will start coming forward.
Yeah, it's like that old saying from a movie. I don't remember the name of the movie, but it's like, if you build it, they will come.
Completely agree.
I think it was an old baseball movie here in the United States, where the movie was about building a baseball stadium in some really remote rural area of the US, and it became the slogan that if you build it, people will come. It has to be there first, and
Yeah, absolutely.
that's exactly what you're implying. That's so wonderful that you're doing this, and I'm actually learning so much from what you're sharing.
Thank
Because
you.
through the National Stuttering Association here in the US, I work on the board of directors, and I am working on an initiative for workplace advocacy, helping to reduce the stigma in workplaces for people who stutter. And several of my colleagues have asked me and gently reminded that that approach should also apply to academics. So I wasn't sure how I would go about reaching out to colleges and universities, but you've certainly given me an idea.
Excellent.
Yeah, but I'm also a little wary of being able to do that myself. So I think I would have to get some helpers. So I'm in awe of all that you've done by
Thank
yourself. That's
you.
just incredible.
Thank you. I think a lot of people think that I'm a little bit crazy in that I just don't like not having things to do. Every so often I do get very, very tired with all the things I do, and people say, I told you so, you shouldn't do so much at the same time. But I just want to help people. That's basically what I want. It's just to help people who are in a similar position to me, and just to offer them support and to change the way that people think about stammering. Very, very small aims, obviously. But yeah, that's what I want to try to achieve.
Oh my goodness, it's just amazing what a vision and effort can accomplish, and you are changing the way the world views stammering in this effort.
Thank you.
So what's your long-term goal with this? I mean, it's been 4 years now. Where do you see this in the next 4 years?
Gosh. I would like to keep on getting universities on board, and I would like to work with other organizations and, different charities and things like that. We have an organization called the National Union of Students, or NUS, as it's probably better known, to help university students with many, many, many different things. And we also have UCAS, which is a company where people can apply for university degrees. And I'd really like to be able to work with organizations like those who have an effect on the student experience, to try and build relationships there and to make, small changes. But if I even help one person who stammers, then I've done my job, So I'd say to be able to work with other organizations and just to gradually build this image that stammering isn't something to be ashamed of. It provides you with many attributes and skills that others may not have. And just to spread the word, I think, that there are certain media pieces and, st stories that you hear on the news online, that really distort stammering and make it into something that it isn't. And it's from that, I think, that all these myths are born. I mean, I've had lots of people say to me, why don't you just sing everything and then you'll be fine? And I'm thinking, well, that would all be well and good, but I'm not going to sing down the phone, to someone at work, So I think,
Right, that's just not
just
realistic.
exactly. So I think just to make small changes that will gradually have a larger impact on people, and yeah, just to try and continue what I'm doing. And to hopefully have some people helping me later on, perhaps, because I'm not sure I could do this forever.
Well, I have to say that, first of all, you're doing far more than just making small changes.
Thank you.
You're really making big impacts, and probably, well, I'm going to say definitely on people that you don't even know that you're impacting. Your reach is greater than your giving yourself credit for.
Oh, thank you very much.
So it's probably going to continue to have a ripple effect, especially as you continue the work and, like you said, hopefully get some other people to come on the train journeys with you and have some
Thank you. I hope so.
helpers. So if people wanted to get involved and help you, what would be the best way for them to find you or reach out?
So I have a few social media pages. So people can find me on Twitter, using the handle stuck_UK, and stuck is spelled STUC, obviously. On Instagram, it's stuck_stammer, and on Facebook, if people just type in "stuck stammerers through university consultancy," you'll be able to find my page. And I'm quite obsessed with my phone, so I'll pretty much be online a lot of the time, so I should be able to get back to people very quickly. If people have any ideas or suggestions for the future of Stuck, or people I should get in touch with, or people I should be helping, or people I should be working with, you know, I'm more than happy to hear from people with their ideas.
Well, so I will definitely include those contact methods on the show notes for this episode. So
thank you.
We'll have them as well. But I feel confident that listeners are going to be so inspired by your work and your efforts, and I believe people will indeed reach out to you because you're making a difference one person at a time, and that's what it's all about in a community of service, and that's what you're doing. You're doing this great service for people who stammer. And I'm just so delighted that you were a guest today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
You're indeed a woman on a mission and making a difference. And you're like the epitome of a woman who stammers that is not letting it hold you back from your visions and your dreams. So thank you again for being a guest. It's really been eye-opening and inspiring.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you to everyone who's been listening as well.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.